I'm Dan Orlovsky. When I'm looking for safety, I always take the extra steps and listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions with it, and goal from the eight, down six, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions! That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane. This game is over. How big is that?
And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
It's time for the Detroit Lions podcast Quick Takes Show. It's a quick look at this week's Detroit Lions news. And now your hosts, Chris and Jeff, the Riz Risden. All right. Hey, hidey-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast, episode 186. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit, and we're here with the Riz to do a live Quick Takes podcast. Some quick look at some of the news going on with the Lions. Riz, how are you doing today, my man?
It is good to see you. Good to be with you. Having fun on this Friday. It's been quite a week. I'm glad that we're wrapping it up and getting ready for the Rams and for the draft.
Yeah. And it's really nice to see you sitting there fully erect. I have to tell you,
I'm sprawled out here on my pad.
Yep. It's a special thing. All right.
It really is.
Two specific things we're talking about.
This camera doesn't pan down.
but you'll grow up. Two specific things we want to talk about today on the show. First, we're going to take a look at offensive coordinator candidates. We're going to go over a couple of names, some people to look for and look, see, is it true? Is it possible? And what's the chances the Lions go in there? And we're going to have our draft specialist, the Riz, talk about draft talk. Kick off draft season because, let's face it, football season's over. I could take a quick look at some of the Lions' options in the draft there. We got a pretty good little show here lined up. Riz, you ready to go, my man?
Let's do it.
Right. Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, let's hit up some of these quick takes. First, we have to let you know that this show is brought to you by our friends at Fanatics. How do you help us out? By helping them out or help yourself out. Get your Lions gear, any kind of gear, Pistons, Red Wings, it doesn't matter. You like the team, it's sports related, it's there. But you don't go there. No. You go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, click on the shop link, and you get all the stuff that Riz wishes he had. You can get your hot tub for the hot tub toaster party coming soon. More on that. And all the other stuff. And it's a seasonal thing because there's a sports season all year round, isn't there, Riz?
There really is. And as my kids will tell you, they can play those sports all year round.
Yes, that's right. They have it's always to get at your money, folks. That's why there's sports seasons year round. Let's just be honest.
That's for sure. No, if you want to get yourself a Pistons jersey, well, they're hot. They're looking pretty good. I was at the game last Friday night. They're a fun team.
Yeah. Very, very fun. All right. Just head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the shop link and get your gear. It's not just Lions gear. It's all available there. Help yourself by helping the show, by doing something you were going to do anyway. All right. Okay, first topic of the day, offensive coordinator possibilities. I think it's a foregone conclusion, at least it is for me, Riz, that Jim Bob Cooter is got one foot in his rear already. Is that a fair assumption?
I hope so. I really hope so. I can't imagine them evaluating this season and doing their self-scouting that all teams do at the end of the year and coming up with the thought that he did a good job. That he deserves to come back for what he's done. Yes, there are some mitigating circumstances. They don't have Golden Tate. They don't have Marvin Jones anymore. They don't have Kerryon Johnson probably this week. There's TJ Lang's gone, but my God, he's not doing what you need him to do with the weapons that he has. It's pretty clear that he is who he is and who he always will be. As far as the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, maybe he'll learn from the error of his ways and move on and spread his wings somewhere else, as a lot of people tend to do. Eric Ebron is an example. But he needs to be done in Detroit. It's got to end.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, it's not going to go well for Bob Quinn this offseason.
No. There's a lot of change that has to happen. And that's straight up where it's at. It is JBC is probably the number one head on the block. And, you know, nice enough guy, trying hard. And I was talking on our podcast this week, Riz, as I was at the game on Thanksgiving. On the sideline, you saw Jim Bob Cooter running that offense 100%. Behind his play card, you had Patricia with his surface. I was laughing saying he's playing Candy Crush, right? But he was working on the surface. You could tell when the play calling was happening, when the plays were going on, he was glancing up here and there, but he was not involved in running that offense in the middle of the field. When time's short, 2-minute drill, that kind of stuff, he's fully attent in a part of it. On the goal line type of situations, red zone, then he's more tuned in, but otherwise he wasn't. This is Jim Bob's offense to mess up. It is truly a situation of giving him the rope he needs to hurt himself, and I think he's done that.
He's done that very well.
Yeah, and that's the story. And as we said, the reasoning behind it, because if Patricia comes in and fires his franchise quarterback's best friend and mentor and the guy he thinks is going to take the team to the top, you've already made an enemy of your key player. You can't do that. So there's the personnel, right. There's the people side of the business that exists. And you can say it's a business all you want, and there's still a lot of people's stuff to deal with, right?
Absolutely, there is. That doesn't get talked about enough in the Lions sphere of fandom.
Yeah, although they are starting to talk about that with Patricia.
we try to bring that up for them as gently as we can.
Yeah, no, that's good. And you guys do a great job. All right, so let's start talking about the offensive coordinator. Let's start internally. Are you okay with looking inside the organization first and see?
not really, but they'll get an interview.
Right. You have to. It's a people's eye. We talk about people, right?
I mean, George Godsey is the one candidate that I think you would look at.
Right.
You just got to remember, why is he here? He's here because in Houston, he failed miserably with Brock Osweiler as his quarterback. Bill O'Brien took back over the offensive play calling duties and won a playoff game with Brock Osweiler as their quarterback.
There's Brian Hoyer year.
Yeah. Ryan Mallett mixed in there too.
Yeah. I think the only thing that he has in his favor is he spent some time working the tight ends, right?
Right. He does technically have a background with receivers and tight ends and quarterbacks. So in theory, his resume looks pretty good, but the fact that he's an incumbent right now on a team where the offensive skill positions have not gotten at all better, I don't think.
He has experience at a quarterback coach on a quarterback that's regressed massively this year too. So it's not necessarily all good experience, right?
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, I guess you give him a little bit of credit for maybe Kenny Golladay developing, and you know, Kerryon Johnson, he is what he is when he got here. So I'm not. Has Levine Tuilolo gotten any better?
Oh, yards, like that's how many he's gotten all year. Okay, so some people have put Jeff Davidson out there. I'm just gonna put the big red no stamp on that right now. It's the offensive line coach is not gonna find his way to the top of this list.
He can come back. I don't have a problem with him coming back, but he doesn't need to be the coordinator.
Yeah, there's definitely been some goodness there. I think a lot of where the problems have lied are really injury and an offensive scheme that have killed us on the offensive line role. I think he's shown in many ways how much that line has improved this year. You're right. He's a guy that could certainly come back. All right, let's dip our toe in the well. Let's take somebody who's not available yet, but could be. And a guy who's seen success around the league in different places, Adam Gase.
current Dolphins coach.
Yes, sir. Yes.
A few more weeks anyways.
So, well, what do you think? What do you think of this guy? He's had Tebow, Manning, Cutler, Tannehill. He's had the whole gamut of quarterbacks.
He's had some interesting characters. And it's interesting because Stafford, in terms of like his historical career arc and everything, probably fits in with that narrative as a guy who hasn't exactly achieved what you wanted him to achieve or what you would expect him to achieve relative to his physical skills. So I don't know. Gase has a reputation of being a hard ass.
Yeah.
And he has that with players and he has that with other coaches. He does not have a reputation in Miami as an easy person to deal with. And that's not just from the Miami media who are generally not easy to deal with either, but from the coaches who've been there, from players who've been there, he and Patricia together would be interesting. Mm-hmm. There's potential for volatility. There's potential for it to work. He does have some innovative ideas. He does craft a good running game. And I think the way you've seen them use Kenyon Drake this year Gore as a veteran back, I think is a way that you could see that happening in Detroit. And they do tend to use the weapons pretty well. I'm not real happy with how they've used Mike Gesicki, their first round tight end, a guy that I was very high on, in part because he was a volleyball star too. But that's my problem. You know, he would be worth interviewing. I'm not sure that he wants to come back to being a coordinator again. I think he's been a head coach. I think he can point at the Dolphins organization as why he hasn't succeeded as much as they would have liked, and possibly get another head coaching job. I have to be careful not to say head job, even though Jason Witten said it twice the other night.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, FCC doesn't like that.
Well, we don't have the FCC, but I'm the opposite of the SEC, right? I point those things out when you say them. So yeah, no, that's great points. He's they say I've heard it say he could be a real star as a hire, but he's very polarizing. He's either going to be really well.
He would be very hit or very miss, and I'm not sure that this management regime with Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, and Patricia's coming back, folks.
Just don't even. So Stafford, by the way.
Yes, Stafford is back as well. So you're looking at, if they get a big miss, and he could be a big miss, then that's accelerating the clock on Quinn possibly getting pushed out the door too. And that's not something that I think Quinn is all that interested in doing.
No. We have a weather report. Pants are doubtful this weekend for the Rams game. Just came in on the live chat. All right. So we could talk about Cliff Kingsbury, but he's gone, right? He's to USC. Isn't that who they just hired?
Allegedly. I don't think there's ink on that contract yet. I'm not. And somebody actually asked me about this on Twitter, and I forget who it was. Otherwise, I give you credit. But I'm not a huge Cliff Kingsbury fan. Some of it has to do with the fact that their blocking schemes that they've used at Texas Tech have not translated well into the NFL. Mm-hmm. If you watch the Colts, you know LaRaven Clark. We had Adrian Waddle, was a reclamation project from the Texas Tech style of offense. It's a very weird system. Now, that doesn't mean that he would implement that fully right away in Detroit, obviously. But the principles that they use are so to that extreme that I think it would require a lot different personnel than what this team has right now. And you're not going to overhaul everything right away. Like Kenny Golladay in that scheme is not a number one receiver. They don't know how to use those kind of receivers.
Right.
You're looking for Golden Tates. They got rid of Golden Tate. I think that sort of says where that is. You know, it's interesting. And I would like to see him be a college coach again. I think that's where he belongs.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on. Okay, so another one that we have, and this guy is available, and this guy is I think it's an interesting name. I'm just going to call him Nate, but it's Nathaniel Hackett. He's the former offensive coordinator from the Jags. Here's a guy who, I mean, you could probably say, there's a couple things. Syracuse ties, right? Which, of course, you have to start thinking about that.
But that's right.
The other side of it is, let's be frank, he made Blake Bortles look pretty good. Blake Bortles without
how all in the talent. Hell did that happen?
Right. So here's a guy. I mean, he seems to have a magic wand, and let's face it, we need one ourselves. What do you think this looks like for the Lions?
He definitely is someone that I think probably should get more attention as a candidate, because like you said, he does have Syracuse ties. He is a football lifer. His father was a coach as well. This is a guy that is, the fact that he won playoff games with Blake Bortles as his quarterback, and look at their receiving core that they had too. Keelan Cole was their best receiver, and Allen Robinson was hurt. Allen Hurns was, you know, okay. They crafted a really good offense out of that around the running of what's his name? Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
They rebuilt an offensive line. They did a very good job in crafting a line together with a lot of guys who aren't as talented as what the Lions have, quite frankly. So I'm for that. He deserves a look for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and we'll keep rocking down this list here. You got to, you know, people talk about the Patriots way, and we talked about it's just kind of the way, right? The continuous improvement way. Let's talk a little bit about a guy named Chad O'Shea. He's a wide receivers coach for the Patriots. Now, people have talked about him as possibly taking over the offense as the offensive coordinator in New England if our guy Josh McDaniels made his way as head coach. And let's face it, if this is always the head fake from the Patriots. So, well, if they would promote him, maybe we should promote him first, right? What do you think? What's the chances on this guy?
There's a lot of variables going on there, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I never roll out a simple question, do I?
Yeah, no. If, and I do think McDaniels is, even though he completely, you know, BF'd the Colts last year, I do think he's going to get another opportunity.
This year, you think?
That's questionable.
Will the Colts hire him?
No. God, no.
That would be so hilarious.
That would be something else. Oh my God!
I'm not sure it would be a circus. Your GM, well, you'd be looking at his Twitter timeline again for some of those hooker tweets, right?
No. Oh boy. So I'm not sure there's going to be that many head coaching openings this year in the NFL. I think there's been a lot of turnover. I mean, you're going to see. I think John Harbaugh is out in Baltimore. It sounds like Marvin Lewis will be out in Cincinnati. But beyond that, is Jacksonville open? So that factors into it too, you know. And those people will need coordinators as well. And would O'Shea stick with McDaniels as well if he goes somewhere? That there's that possibility too. I don't know him very well, so I can't say other than he comes from the Patriots. He knows the people who are in charge, so that definitely gives him an advantage, at least a foot in the door.
And he's worked with Tom Brady, right? Which
right? Look at their receivers coach. Look at their receivers. Are any of those guys any good at all outside of that system? No, they're not.
No, yeah. So that's just a little something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So how about we'll see him this weekend, although he probably won't make – you have to be looking deep on the camera to see him. But there's a guy named Shane Waldron. He's a passing game coordinator for the Rams. What do you think of this guy?
He got an interesting profile too. If you've seen a picture of him with the full length, he looks like a normal guy up top, and then you get down to the belly and he's Patricia like. It's weird. So maybe he fits that way. Maybe he appeals that way. He's a definite, and I wrote about him for Lions Wire this week. I think he's a very good candidate.
I want to see them try to hug when we win the Super Bowl. Sorry. So stupid.
All the navel gazers are going to love that one.
So stupid. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That would be something else. No, he is somebody who's definitely getting a lot of credit. He's worked with a lot with Jared Goff, but he's also crafted an offense with a very bright and innovative guy in Sean McVay. They seem to work very well together. They seem to bounce ideas off one another. You can't give McVay all that credit. He gets a lot of it. He's been fantastic. Home run hire. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like Waldron a lot. I like him better than I like their quarterback coach, Zach Taylor, mm-hmm. who is, from what I've gathered, and this is just me, you know, reading tea leaves in between lines and stuff, is that he is probably more likely to get a head coaching look than Waldron is for whatever reason. I can't explain that. But Waldron would be very fun. And it seems like the Rams are sort of at peace with letting guys go. They think that they can keep the party rolling.
Yeah, they can't. They're going to get hit with all kinds of money issues and everything else. This is it, right?
Yeah, they're going to have to pay Goff. They're going to have to pay Gurley. They're going to have to pay all those guys at some point.
And the thing about Waldron, the one other thing is he's been known to work a tight end once in a while, right? So that's good for him. No, that's one that I'm interested in. And
I am too. I think he's somebody that I think the Lions should have a lot of interest in. Let's put it that way.
And the idea of, and I think this is what Patricia needs, is that kind of person to bounce ideas off of him. I think I think that's what he's looking for. It's a Belichickish kind of thing. I think Patricia wants it a little bit differently, but Patricia would come up with this master strategy. Hey, you know, I noticed this situation. I want you guys to come up with something to do that. And then they would bounce those things back, right? Yeah. He may think that he's doing that. He may not do that as well as early on. I don't know enough about him to know, but I know he wants his guys to come back thinking about how to scheme for those situations. And a guy like this really fits a role like that.
Definitely. One of the things that you're going to look at for any coaching hire is that they're going to have to be smart, and they're going to have to be expressively smart, because Matt Patricia does not have he has a very low threshold for stupidity.
Right. Much like me, right, Riz?
Myself as well. Yes, that's why I was a terrible teacher.
That's why we do this together, because we are too smart for anybody else. We can't suffer the fools that we know. Okay, anyway, that's a good run. Actually, I was going to wrap it up. Let me see. Is there anybody else on your list maybe you want to cover really quick before we move on?
If the Cleveland Browns are stupid enough to let Freddie Kitchens go, you've got to get him.
Yeah.
The And that is the stark night and day difference, because when Todd Haley was running that offense, they were crap. Mm-hmm. Since then, Baker Mayfield has been the second best quarterback in the NFL. Their best wide receiver is Rashard Higgins.
And
put that in your pipe and smoke it.
And that is, I think, one of the most key points that we have to think about. And you look at what changed in Cleveland, and it was the coordinator. And look at the turnaround on that team. Tell me, changing Jabal Cooter isn't going to be fixing so much for this team.
They did specific things too. They got the ball out of Baker's hands quicker. They forced tempo. They had him have easier first reads on plays. Yep. Not that he necessarily needed it, but he's taking advantage of it. And those are simple things that Jabal Cooter could do those things in Detroit too, and hasn't.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to hit, I'm going to throw another name at you, it's come out of the live chat, but I completely lost it. Dang it, I'm an idiot because of the live chat. Let me just throw this name at you out of the live chat, and I'm going to come back to that. Oh, I'm sorry, I remembered it now. The resurgence of the Cleveland offense is with the same playbook. They didn't change the playbook.
Exact same playbook. They put in different formations. Mm-hmm. They varied it up a little. I mean, they've run the wishbone. So, yeah. I mean,
reverse wishbone.
You're saying this as I'm about to go to a Steel Panther concert. Keep that in mind, too.
it's like reverse cowgirl, but it's a reverse wishbone. So, no, that's just a swing. So, let's talk about Ben McAdoo. What do you think of him? Yeah, he's available. He's out there. He's someone to think about. I'm not feeling great since the Giants, but where's your head at? I'm more emotionally involved.
I'm not crazy about him. He's done well when he's had stars, but the players who aren't stars have never been good for him.
Right.
And I think that's his curse.
Yeah. And that the Lions would continue that curse.
Sure. Yeah. Cause theoretically we have Matthew Stafford, Kenny Galladay, and Kerryon Johnson, and a decent offensive line, but every other position on the offense right now realistically needs to be replaced in the next 18 months.
Yep. Got money to spend. We'll see what happens. Could use another pick or two. All right. Looking ahead, let's talk quickly. You know, it's that time of the year. It's that holiday season. And Hickory Dickory Dock, and you can, you know, all those kinds of things that people are singing. It's time to go get your gifts. And when you're thinking of your loved ones and yourself, don't forget to get yourself a gift this year. Who wants to go out and deal with those crowds? Who wants to wrestle the mud that is the sea of humanity out there, right? It's terrible. You want to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Amazon link and head on over and shop with no pants from the comfy of your home. And let's
say, shop for your new pants if you want.
Think about it. How could you ever shop without pants on out at the mall? That would be a whole scene. It would be a thing.
They frown on that.
They really, really do.
Bastards.
Here's an opportunity. I mean, you could even do it pants free. I mean, absolutely pants free from everything. All you do, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on that Amazon link. Go stock up on gifts for your friends, family, and yourself. Never, never, ever forget about yourself. It's a great way to get all the stuff you're going to do. They throw a kickback our way for everyone we send over. They say these guys are kind of cool over there, and we like them, so we'll give them a little bump off of that. So anyway, don't let them make all that profit on their own. Share it with us, right? I mean, fuck those guys. Bezos has enough. DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the Amazon link. Help us out. All right, we're going to move on now to the next topic. Thank you all for sitting through those things. We try to make them fun, but they are what they are. Let's take a look at the draft. We got Riz here. As we said, the season's pretty much over. It's a great time to start thinking about the draft.
This is a good weekend to start thinking about the draft because it's conference championship weekend. And you get a lot of fun games. It kicks off tonight with your Maction. I would have been there had my Ohio Bobcats been there. But instead you get Northern Illinois and Buffalo. And Buffalo, believe it or not, has a wide receiver that Lions fans need to be very aware of, and Anthony Johnson. Guy can play. He's 6'2", 205. Everything about the guy says average physically, but he produces. He averages 18 yards a catch. Some of that has to do with their quarterback, Tyree Jackson, who can throw the ball 75 yards.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
He is probably going to declare. The indications are that he will declare. He would be an interesting middle round pick as a developmental quarterback and eventual successor for Matthew Stafford. Not that anybody's willing to talk about that yet. But he needs some work. He is not NFL ready. He throws everything's the 120 mile an hour fastball with him. There's no changeup. And when he does try to ease it up, he loses accuracy big time. So he's not ready yet. But Johnson is a guy, he's proven he can catch balls from a guy who throws, you know, flames all the time.
Which is huge. And in Galladay, a guy who showed in his college years he could catch balls that were not, I mean, that were at the edge of the wingspan, right?
Well, yeah, it's Northern Illinois. You're seeing Northern Illinois tonight. Their quarterback situation, I don't know how they win one game, let alone what, they go 7-5 this year, but that still won the MAC West. MAC West, by the way, terrible, terrible. But Max Sharpring is the left tackle for Northern Illinois. He's a guy that's going to get drafted. He's a senior bowler. If Sutton Smith, the pass rusher from Northern Illinois, comes out, more plays behind the line of scrimmage than any collegian over the last two seasons. They use him a lot as like a 5 technique to a 7 technique, and he's 6 feet tall and 235 pounds soaking wet. So he has a massive advantage in collegians that way. He's going to play outside linebacker in the NFL, yeah. And he needs some work, but there's a lot to work with there. If you're familiar with Jerry Hughes when he came out of TCU, is that kind of guy. And it took Jerry 5 years before he was a competent NFL player.
Sure, sure.
So that's where he might not declare either, but he's someone to watch in that game. And Jackson's always fun. And Buffalo's middle linebacker, Khalil Hodge. Not Khalil Mack. They got another Khalil.
Another Khalil? Uh-oh.
Khalil Hodge, perfect. Perfect compliment for Jared Davis in the middle of the defense. Would love to see him in Detroit, and he's probably a fourth or fifth round guy. And he can. I characterize him in a piece that I did today as a higher end Tahir Whitehead.
right out of school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. He has some of the same limitations. He's not the most fluid person, but he is one of those guys that he sees the play that's coming before it happens and gets there and reacts to it, and he can thump.
Nice.
People.
Nice.
Yeah. All so right. There's my Maxion. My Maxion preview.
Who's what we're looking at? That is your Maxion preview. There's a lot of talk. We need that. Well, there's two real positions. We need that replacement for Golden Tate, people are talking about. And there's this one position we've talked about forever and tight end. And what do we got? What's going on? Who can we watch this weekend that may make us get a little loosen our pants a little bit?
You know, tight end is tough because there's not a lot of great ones that are playing this weekend. I think Washington has a guy, and I haven't watched Washington much this year, so I don't know that much about them. Their best player is a defensive end, as far as the Lions are concerned. Yeah, there's, wide receiver, that's where you want to watch the Texas-Oklahoma game. We'll give you something. Marquise Brown, a guy you definitely need to know who he is. He goes by Hollywood. That's the kind of guy he is. He is a playmaker. He is confident. He has that Golden Tate swagger. He is going to get taunting penalties. And I think there's a lot of people who sort of miss that about Golden Tate. Yeah. I hate taunting myself, but I don't mind when you show somebody up, let them know a little bit. I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm quietly okay with that. So that's somebody that I'm definitely looking forward to. And his matchup against Chris Boyd, the Texas cornerback, is something to watch because the Lions have watched a lot of Chris Boyd, the cornerback from Texas. Just keep him in mind because they have.
Excellent. All right. Let's take another swing. Besides this weekend, who else are we going to give us two or three other guys that we're going to look at and we should watch here in the next couple of weeks?
Well, you're going to want to watch the Iowa game whenever they get into a bowl game because they're tight ends. They have two tight ends, Fant, and the other guy has a long name and I can't think of it. But he's probably the better prospect, even though Fant is a better athlete. But if you liked George Kittle, you're going to like both of these guys. You're not going to love them. I don't think either of them is as high end as George Kittle is, and he's been great. And shout out to my guy Beast for being all over that back in the day. They are both going to be second to third round picks, day two picks, and the Lions need not one, not two, but perhaps three new tight ends this offseason. They certainly have to upgrade one of them. So I think Iowa is good. They've seen Iowa live at least three times that I know of, and probably more than that.
Do you think we're going to dip into free agency in the tight end market here?
Good, I hope so. Honest to God, I have not looked at free agency at all, at who's available in that, but that's certainly something to look at too.
Yeah. Seems like when you need that many people at a position, and tight end's a good position to grab for free agency because you can get at least decent spend on it, right?
And there's a chance that a new offensive coordinator could bring out the better of Luke Wilson too. I'm not ready to throw the towel in on him yet, but if Kruger's back, he needs to go. Yeah. he ain't fitting.
Yeah, Cooter's not coming back. All right,
can you imagine if he came back? Oh, the horror.
Give us the player from Alabama that we want on on the Lions.
Oh my God, who don't you want on the Lions?
You gotta go with the perennial number one, right? So you gotta say who comes from there to here.
You don't really need him because I think the defensive line has come along pretty good, but my God, Quinnen Williams. He good. He can play. He can play right away. He can play next to Deshaun Hand right away. Yeah. He is a top. If you want him, you're going to take him wherever the Lions pick first, which is probably going to be in the 5 to 10 overall range. He might even be there then. That's the guy. Oh, he'd be fantastic.
Crazy.
Great player. Great Crazy. Player.
Any thoughts at safety? Glover Quinn seems to be a point of conversation these days. I don't know that he sees the Lions next year. Love the guy. I absolutely love the guy, right? I'm not down on him.
Nothing but love for Glover Quinn and what he's been, but he's not that guy anymore. And it's painfully obvious the more that you watch. If you watch the All 22 on the coaches film on the NFL Game Pass, you will see that Glover Quinn should not be playing more than situationally anymore. And that just the way it is. He's 32 years old. He's been through a lot. Yep. Been a fantastic player. Great guy in the locker room. Wonderful citizen. We will fondly remember him as one of the best free agent signings in franchise history.
Yeah, for the city alone, right? Just for what he's done in the city. Yeah. Absolute wonderful human being. Is his replacement on the team, or is he?
I think Tracy Walker is going to be the replacement. Okay. And I am very anxious to see how much they play him, how much they give him, and how much he handles it. Because I think he's done pretty well. He's getting better every week.
Exactly.
I think that was one of those where they drafted the replacement ahead of time. But they're going to need somebody to replace Tracy Walker.
Right. And where did they get him? They got him, what, number in sixth round, Tracy Walker? Fifth round?
He's third round.
Third round? Number, that's higher than I remember.
Number 77 overall out of Louisiana Lafayette.
There you go.
Got it. Good player.
I wish I had a memory like you, Riz. That's it, folks. Don't do drugs. Riz told you about it. Now you can see why.
That's true. Never done drugs in my life.
Me too. Okay, let's call it a day. Don't forget, we're available. A great way to help the show. Keep us running and doing these great things. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. There's a Slack chat available for the Patreon people. It's super intelligent. Riz drops in.
It really is. There's some good conversations in there that are like nuanced, and people pick up on the nuance.
Right, right.
It's so much better than Twitter. It's so much better than your typical message. Even Reddit sometimes gets a little...
Oh yeah, Reddit's a mess. It is a mess right now, and they're doing a good job trying to clean it up. But yeah, we've got a great group of people there. If you want to join it, hit the Patreon thing. Riz comes in, drops bombs every now and then, shakes everybody up. leaves the place a shamble. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. As little as $1 a month, a donation will get you access to that. Also, we're doing the thing with Blandino. We're doing a shoot. You get a chance to maybe be part of the cast on that and some of the other stuff. So, great way to join the show. Remember, we're looking for your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit. DetroitLions.reddit.com to give us your feedback. Do you have some feedback, Riz? Do you want to give some feedback here real quick?
I have no feedback. I'm checked out, Chris.
You're going to Steel Panther. I'm going to Steel Panther, man.
I'm ready.
And I mean, you're sitting
leather pants on and spike the hair up, put a little eyelash on, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Nice. All right. Don't forget about us on Patreon. We're doing don't forget about the post-game show. We're doing that live after the Rams game. It may be a therapy session. It may be a surprise party. Who knows what the hell is going on? This is the Lions. You never know what you're going to see.
You're going to see the Rams fans be upset at how their team played, yet they still won. I think that's my prediction for the game.
Wow.
I think Rams fans are going to be disappointed in their team, but they're still going to go home winners.
Nice.
My pick.
Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and follow us on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast, DETLionsPodcast. It's the very best place to see the Riz.
With no pants.
That's right. Or here. You can do it here. You want to give us some feedback? You can call us on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line. 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your little box automatically.
Do it.
Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.